the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it is Monday, March 18th.
Woo!
Woohoo, yeah, baby.
Aw, man, Selection Sunday yesterday, you guys.
Oh, yeah, that's something Casey
everybody
really cares
loves
about.
Loves college basketball.
Did they pick their tournament?
Yes.
Yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. It was the big day yesterday.
Wasn't the ACC tournament happening as well?
As soon as all the tournaments are over,
they pick.
They pick. Because the people who are in those final games of those big days,
yeah,
they're usually both in. So
right,
they don't have to worry about it.
Unless you got some weird upset.
Yeah, some weird upset.
Where some lowly team from the ACC wins the tournament and they get the guaranteed bid or something.
Correct.
Did Duke win the ACC tournament?
They certainly did.
Ah.
So Zion, you know, it was an interesting year, is what the news said, because three ACC teams got number one seeds in the tournament.
Oh.
Virginia, North Carolina, and Duke.
And
then the other one's Gonzaga.
Uh-huh.
So
I've heard that Gonzaga's supposed to be the number one overall.
I think that that is what happened.
Good for Gonzaga, being such a small school and really doing whatever they do.
The few, the proud. The Zags.
That's John Stockton's school, right?
Yes, it is.
But there was a big gap between his time there and when they became like a powerhouse.
Yeah. And hang on. Was it John Stockton's school or was it John Stockton's son's school?
I think they both went.
They both went there? Okay.
Pretty sure they both went to Gonzaga. I think that's the only reason I had ever heard of Gonzaga. David Stockton is already out of college and like tried to go into the pros, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he played a couple of games for the, you know, the Jazz's G League team. And he was on the Kings for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you want to talk? Well, we had fun yesterday. We went to the Clippers Brooklyn Nets game.
Yes, we did. We had our Rule of Threes basketball game.
Yeah, it was fun.
We want to give a big shout out to Johnny Chang, who came and watched the game with us. Thanks for coming out and showing up.
Yes, thanks, Johnny, for coming. It was really fun. Probably the best possible Clippers game, like in the, all the timelines where this was the game, you know, that we went to, this is probably the best.
Yes, and it's so funny because you got everything. You got everything Clippers. You got lackluster entertainment. In between all of the breaks, you got a Clippers late game collapse.
Yeah,
but you also got
late
game collapse. But you also got just a really fun game throughout. A lot of good play from both teams. D'Angelo Russell was on fire.
Yes,
and then you got that wild, amazing, ridiculous 3-pointer that Lou Williams made as time expired to win the game.
The Clippers were up 113-106, and I believe there was like a minute left, minute 10, and you were like, this game's pretty much over. And I was like, well, it's not over yet. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander hit a 3-pointer,
and
I was like, all right, now it's over.
Now it's over.
They're up by 10 with 1 minute left.
Yeah. No one's ever done that before.
I mean, that's certainly been done. But it's rare when it's done.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember what the first couple scores were.
There were free throws.
Well,
there was a D'Angelo Russell 3-pointer.
Yeah, Dinwiddie got two free throws.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell came down and hit a three.
Yes. And then
there must have been another three in there. Oh, no, a three-point play?
It was the Damari Carroll three-point play.
Yes, three-point play. We were just laughing as this was happening. But still down by two.
Still down by two. Anything could have happened.
There were like 30 seconds left.
Yeah. So they didn't even have to foul. They never had to foul the Clippers intentionally once.
Yes.
Because the Clippers, one of the big turnovers was the 5-second inbounds.
Yes, 5-second inbound play.
Only
just
the
call
Clippers.
A timeout. I think they had timeouts
they
left.
They did have a timeout.
So then they were still down by two with like 30 seconds left, which means they didn't have to foul.
No.
Just play good defense. They got a wide open.
Like,
from the corner, three-pointer.
So open.
From Patrick Beverley, which was a complete
just
undershot air ball.
Ball.
It wasn't even over to the side. It was under the rim.
It was wild.
Which is weird. And then they immediately went down.
Didn't even call a timeout.
Was it D'Angelo Russell who made an amazing wide open pass to Jared
because
Allen?
Because Jared Allen got the rebound, handed it off to Russell. Russell went down the court.
Jared Allen just ran to the rim.
Double teamed. And everybody forgot that Jared Allen exists. And D'Angelo Russell threaded the needle. And he dunked the ball in with 5 seconds left to tie the game at 116. Which was the entire place went nuts. It was like, what is happening?
But in a weird way. One of the weirder sounds you would ever hear. And then I believe I said we were either about to get overtime, which I was excited about, actually, seeing overtime, or we're about to see a great shot. And I believe that I did. I mean, I assume everybody would say this, but I was like, you should have Lou Williams shoot the ball.
Yeah.
I was shocked by the shot that he took. That isn't a shot that I think of Lou. I don't think of Lou Williams as a 3-point shooter in general.
Okay.
I think of him as one of these great mid-range, like, has a million moves that just create enough distance to get off a 2-point or a layup or something like that.
And I mean, that's what he did, but just out at the 3-point line.
Yeah. He was doing that kind of stuff all game, like getting just to free throw area and popping up little floaters. But then this magnificent over basically a double team.
Yeah.
A long, like, couple feet behind the 3-point line. And it was a great ending to the game, I thought.
Yeah, I was very excited, and I wore my my Joe Johnson Brooklyn Nets jersey, one of my two Brooklyn Nets jerseys I have. Actually, I have three. I have a Gerald Wallace white one as well. Mm. But so one of my Brooklyn Nets jerseys, and I was booed at the stadium by a child, which was fun.
Well, Clippers games, the amount of jerseys that were either Brooklyn or Los Angeles Clippers were very, very small percentage.
Very small. Compared to just people, any jersey.
People just
at all.
Wearing jerseys in general. It's like if you just wore Universal Studios gear to Disneyland.
Yes.
I wonder how many people wear, like, well, there's probably a fair amount of people wearing Harry Potter gear to Disneyland.
Maybe.
But, like, the amount of people wearing, like, Universal Studios.
It's like people who are Six Flags, because it matters, like Six Flags stuff to Disneyland.
Yeah. And then somebody was wearing a Walter Payton Chicago Bears jersey.
Yeah. I mean, so it's just sports. Just a sports
just
jersey.
Bodies moving around is the tribute there.
I feel like, you know, when you do see Clippers gear at these games, you don't see the jerseys as much, but what you do see are shirts, sweaters, hats, and Chris made a subscription that got him a free sweater.
So I signed up for 8 weeks of the LA Times Digital and the Sunday print edition, which is funny because it's exactly the same subscription that I had like a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, post Trump, we were all trying to support newspapers and stuff like that. I have a Washington Post digital subscription.
As we all do, it goes and I was like, bills you know directly what? To I my like, Amazon account.
I like getting that Sunday paper.
Yeah, Sunday papers are nice.
So for a while, I'm kind of off the New York Times these days. New York Times has been annoying me lately.
Okay. Is it just the opinion section, or is it all of the New York Times? Because I feel like their opinion section is a firebrand.
There's an element to their political writing these days that is a little too sort of, what is that?
Centrist?
But centrist in a way that is not appealing to me. I don't know what it is. Sort of that. It's one step down the road of like all sides are equal and should be heard.
Fun.
You know, which in this day and age, I just don't have the stomach for.
No time.
And to be honest, every 3 to 6 months, they write an article about Los Angeles that didn't bother me when I lived in New York. And now I read them and they're just so shallow.
Angeles. What is it like being a little brother to a big city?
Right, and it's always got like some condescending angle to it. And it's just more just like, I don't know why I need to pay for that. So I'm going to subscribe to my hometown newspaper.
There we go.
And I got a very nice Los Angeles Clippers hoodie for it.
Yeah, and it says LA Times in the back of it.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you realized when you got it or not.
I realized when I put it on.
Okay.
He notably did not show me that side. I was fine. That's fine.
And you can definitely scrub that off if you want to.
Oh, it's fine with me. It'll probably scrub off naturally, I would think.
Just like the Clippers logo on the front.
Just like the Clippers. Well, this is what I decided because I've now seen two very good Clippers games.
Yeah. Two good Clippers games in the course of 2 weeks.
Against two Eastern Conference playoff teams.
Yeah.
And I would say that I'm going to have the Clippers be my number two team.
Dun dun.
Because first of all, I mean, I enjoy rooting for the Warriors. I love Warriors basketball. I love their brand of basketball. But yeah. It's like anybody can root for the Warriors because they're going to win probably. Like it's nothing special. I appreciate their brand of basketball.
Yes, it's great.
But it's not like a fandom for me.
That's fair.
And also, the more Warriors fans I get exposed to, I kind of do want them to lose.
Yeah.
Just because they've had it good for a while, they can take a few losses. So besides that, I don't really have any allegiances. Like I'm from Houston, Texas,
okay.
And they just keep hiring repugnant athletes that I don't enjoy rooting for.
Yeah.
The last time I rooted for the Rockets was Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady.
Oh, just two absolute kings of the court. You know,
and way long before that, Hakeem and Clyde. And
we saw a Hakeem jersey at the at the game in the upper level. There's like an outdoor smoking deck that I think that they'll sometimes reserve for parties.
Yes,
and there was a party going on outside. It was like nobody was watching the game. Nobody cared. And there was a DJ, and there was some dude in a Hakeem Olajuwon jersey, and we were like, yeah.
I must say that I don't get that phenomenon of we're going to a party that happens to be outside of the game at the Staples Center.
Yeah.
Because there's no monitors out there.
No, there were no monitors.
So they were just kind of hanging out on a patio.
And you couldn't hear what was happening outside when you were walking. So I'm sure they couldn't hear what was happening inside.
I don't know what the
roar of the crowd.
Except maybe that it's a party where maybe there's 2/3 of that party is actually somewhere in a lounge watching the game.
Yeah.
And these are the people that are just not interested in basketball but want to hang out with their friends.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't do that.
So I just realized that there's no need for me to be have to pick between the two LA teams, because I would say in the history of the league, the two LA teams are rarely both at the top. So their fortunes are very rarely in the way of each other.
No.
The Clippers and Lakers have no collision path this year. And if they ever did play in a series, I would still root for the Lakers over the Clippers.
Yeah.
But the whole thing of like, you got to like the Cubs and not the White Sox, or you have to like the Yankees and not the Mets, like it doesn't seem that important to me.
Here's the thing. To you, it's not important. I think to Clippers and Lakers fans, both, they would think differently. Like people who are from LA who are Clippers and Lakers fans.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Lakers fans look at Clippers fans as little idiot children.
Yeah.
And the Clippers fans look at the Lakers fans as stuck in the mud old idiots. Who are just like, I like the Lakers because we won some championships back in the day. There's not like an actual basketball rivalry, but there's like a little brother, big brother kind of mentality between the two fan bases.
Sure. And I also think there's some classism involved.
Yeah.
I will say though that I've been a Lakers fan, not from LA, but I've been a Lakers fan longer than most Lakers fans.
Yeah.
Just because I'm older than most of them.
That is so very fair. But there's like an LA specific thing.
Yeah. So that I'm not tapped into and I don't.
Right. If you're just a kid growing up in an LA school system, you know, you're a Lakers fan and a Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
Right. But then if you want to be like, I'm different. Okay. I'm a Clippers fan. I like Danny Manning. It's like, all right, fine. You like Danny Manning. Congratulations. Here's the thing. The Clippers have tried to be like cool. They've tried to be like the team that gets new fans in LA for a long time.
Yeah.
Like they were trying that with Darius Miles, Lamar Odom, Elton Brand, you know, that whole trio of players.
Yeah.
And you just think about how long they've wanted to be more popular in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And how their new ownership you know, has been trying to get them out of the shadow of the Lakers' dominance on the city for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't worked, but like, when is it going to? Like, when are the Clippers going to get there?
The only thing that matters is winning. Like, what is the deepest playoff run they've ever had?
Second round.
Like, ever?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's literally all it is. Like, the marketing doesn't matter. You know, similarly, actually, Brooklyn is a good equivalent for New York. It was particularly hard when the Nets were a New Jersey team. They were a hard team to root for.
Yeah.
Because then it really taps into the identities of like not being a New York team. But now they're in Barclays Center and they're, you know, Jay-Z likes them or whatever. If they can have a couple good years of playoff runs and the Knicks continue to fester.
I mean, really, honestly, I don't know if a couple of years is going to be enough. And well, I don't think a couple of years is going to be enough.
Last episode I said five. You need five good playoff runs.
It's just this thing about being in a city with an established team already.
Yeah.
Right? That's the hard. It's so hard to overcome that. And, you know, you see a team like the Angels in baseball. They try to overcome the Dodgers, like, cultural dominance in the Los Angeles County. And they can't. They just can't. And the Knicks have that same kind of cultural dominance in New York. It doesn't matter that the Knicks have been absolute butt for 20 years now.
Yeah.
Right? They're just the Knicks still. And, you know, you look at the ticket prices between the two games. Knicks versus Nets. Knicks versus Nets and Lakers versus Clippers. It's stark how different it costs to get into a game because of the demand for going to see them play, whether or not they're good or bad. And that, like...
Yeah, but I think that... So I don't think that the Nets or the Angels or the...
Clippers.
The Clippers or any of these equivalents need to overtake the A-teams in these cities.
Okay.
But I think that it's just... you just have to grow it. That when I say it, all that matters is winning is you just have to grow it incrementally. So I've seen two Clippers games in a row where Lou Williams was the hero.
Yeah.
And that makes me, I love rooting for Lou Williams, and it makes me want to root for the Clippers like 1% more than I did 10 days ago.
Right.
Great. And that effect times however many people were in the stadium, times 10 years, maybe gets you 10% more market share in your town than you did before.
So, and part of it is that they're not a part of the national conversation either.
Yeah.
Right. People don't talk about them. If you're from another city, you only talk about the Lakers. You don't talk about the Clippers. You only talk about the Knicks. You don't talk about the Nets.
Right.
Right. So it's a bit of a bummer for those teams. And it's kind of an interesting thing to think about as just a second team rivalry. Like right now, like it's starting again in Los Angeles with the Chargers and the Rams for football too.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Right. The Chargers don't have a fan base in Los Angeles, and the Rams do. And it's going to be hard for the Chargers to get going. I mean, you know, there's some, like, I don't know the deal between the Islanders and the Rangers in hockey, but I do know that the Rangers are more popular, and the Islanders, nobody gives a shit about them.
The people on Long Island do, though.
Yeah, but Long Island, like, but, the little brother of New York.
Well, because I think that's where, isn't that where they play?
I believe they do play there now again. I think they played in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center for a couple of years.
Rangers are definitely more of a regular New Yorker team. Just like most people prefer the Giants.
Yeah. Yes.
And the majority of people prefer the Yankees.
Yes.
But if you're from Queens, you tend to prefer the Mets because it's like you probably grew up right near Shea Stadium or now Citi Field.
Citi Field.
There's always the thing is like Yankees Mets is probably the most. There's probably the most parity between, like, Yankees are by far our favorite, but the Mets are a pretty strong franchise on their own.
Yes.
And the Jets are okay. I know lots of hardcore Jets fans. It's just that the Jets, similar to the Clippers in a way, have keep sort of falling over their own feet over the last decade or so. And it's hard when the A team, like, the Yankees, the LA Rams, the whoever, it's hard when they are like going to the finals or, you know, the last stages of the sport. It's hard for that. You know, if the Rams go to the Super Bowl again or the Dodgers go to the World Series again, you know, that's makes sense. Like you should keep rooting for the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if the Nets and the Clippers were able to make it to the Final Four, let's say, for a few years in a row, and the Lakers and the Knicks were not making the playoffs.
Yeah.
They wouldn't overtake them, but any kid who's like 7 years old and just starting to root for an NBA team, I'd say they should consider rooting for the Clippers.
Yeah.
I also think the new Clippers logo is fantastic.
The L, the A, and the C, the circle.
Uh-huh. I love the color of it, and I like the starkness of it.
Okay.
The Brooklyn Nets rebranding, I think, has been very good. In fact, I do know a lot of people because they moved to Brooklyn, I think, before I left New York City. And going to Brooklyn was a kind of cool, it raised their cool factor by a lot.
Yeah.
And there were a fair number of people that bought into that like, there's an appeal to being like, I'm one of the first people to like root for this team.
Yeah.
I tried that with the Houston Texans.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry.
But they also like donate money hardcore to like Republicans.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's hard to root for any NFL team along those lines.
Yes.
Although one of the owners of the New York Giants is very liberal. So there you go.
The world's smallest fucking popper of,
I mean, out of all of the NFL fireworks owners, there's like three that have donated to like liberal causes.
I mean, it probably wouldn't surprise you that there's still a ton of NBA owners that,
yeah, for sure,
contribute to conservative causes. But then
on that same note, I bet Ballmer's pretty liberal.
I could see that. I think hanging around in Seattle with Bill Gates for that long.
Yeah, I don't know what the buses are. I know Jeannie's doing stand-up.
I feel like the buses, like at least Dr. Bus, Dr. Jerry Bus, his only party preference was like partying.
It was Coke. Coke and Remy Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like 25-year-olds. Like.
Yeah. Who's the matriarch of the Bus family?
Did she
pass away a long time ago? Or?
No, they divorced.
But she's like never been around.
Yeah,
right?
Because she wasn't like... She wasn't a part of the whole scene, like after the kids were born. Yeah.
So, but anyways, super fun game.
Oh.
And I'm not going to adhere to the, I have to pick one team from the city.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
root for the Clippers. Do not let, you know, LA rivalries formed in my youth, you know, stop you from being your best
because
person.
The other thing is, that, first of all, I think you said that I could get a courtside ticket to Memphis.
Yeah, $300,
which is pretty crazy.
That's very crazy. I was looking at Flash seats, and it is courtside, $300.
Yeah, the equivalent Lakers ticket is probably
$2,500.
Yeah,
if not more. Yeah, and there were some lower bowl tickets for $20 on the Flash seats app. I was like, I might as well snag these.
Well, I also mentioned that right now, like on the sites, you can buy the game, the tickets that are, it says like Western Conference round one.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty much pretty close to getting in.
Yeah, but we were talking a little bit last night about who they were matched with. They're like tied 6, 7, 8 basically
in the
West right now. So it's no guarantee that they'll get the Warriors.
Right. So there's a chance that there's you buy a round one playoff ticket now for $300 and it's a Warriors ticket.
Yes.
Which is pretty great. I mean, almost a guaranteed loss, but yeah. Let's say, who are the other projects? Denver, potentially,
yes,
and maybe Houston if they got
Houston
up to six
as well. Yeah. Oklahoma City, Portland. I mean, CJ McCollum just
actually a Houston Clippers series would be interesting.
Oh,
Chris Paul coming home.
Oh, very much so.
You know,
or just like stopping at one of his vacation houses,
right? So. Any other thoughts from the game?
Yes, I want to talk about the in-game entertainment. We finally got a chance to watch it together. You also got your first experience with the weekend dance team on the Clippers.
Yes.
The Kid Clippers. everybody knows Kid Clippers are the best dance team in LA. You know, they bring the energy, they bring the fun, they bring the approved dance moves, which are usually just like the one where you take both of your hands and you put your arms out and your fists in by your chest and you move it
non-suggestive
back and forth. Non-suggestive, like I'm gonna dance moves.
Yeah.
And the Kid Clippers were in their St. Patrick's Day gear because, as everyone knows, Kid Clippers only go to the weekend games because on the weekdays they have kid school.
Right.
And you can't.
They appear to be from 9 to 13.
Yes. And then sometimes they get there's like one kid who like dances with him sometimes who is like a YouTube star or some shit.
Oh.
And he like does all these extra dance things. It was very, very prime Kid Clipper time. we also had a lot of t-shirt cannoning.
Yes.
Okay. We were talking about a t-shirt cannon after the game you went to last time in Boston with Boston. And you were like, oh, it's just a little bucket that shoots out the t-shirts.
You were talking about a device that I had not seen last week that they brought out.
Because on the weekend, more people go to the games and they can bring out the big guns, which is the rotating Gatling gun styled t-shirt cannon.
Yeah.
Truly a masterpiece of engineering.
Also, if they are t-shirts that say LA Clippers, LA Our Way, which is this year's
LA slogan, Our Way.
It might be that they are did they have like 15,000 left? Because there's only like three home games left or something like that?
No, there are four home games left.
Uh-huh.
And then two home games in the playoffs.
Well, sure. But I mean, I wonder if they've done their like kind of averaging and really just fire as many of these into the audience as
fire possible. You know, everybody, I'm sure they're going to get those dumb shirts out on the seats so that everybody who goes to the game has to wear them for the playoffs. And you get a white out in the stadium and everybody's going to have so much fun.
That would be fun. Also, I looked up tickets to the Agua Caliente Clippers.
Ooh, okay. Talk to me.
This is the G League team that the Clippers have.
You got to go to Palm Springs.
Technically, it's an Ontario, California franchise, which actually is like another hour from Ontario to Agua Caliente.
Yes.
But I guess that's where their office is or something. They play at the Agua Caliente Resort in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
And they only have one game left at home, unfortunately. Yes. That's tomorrow night against it's some crazy name.
Sky Falls Sioux Force.
I thought you were going to say the Greensboro Sioux Vides.
The Greensboro Sioux Vides. They're good this year, the Greensboro Sioux Vides.
Yeah. You know what? They work great under pressure.
Hey!
Ba-da-ba, a joke that makes no sense because Sioux Vide is not a pressure
cooker. It's a water.
Yeah. Water-based vacuum seal. They have one game tomorrow, and you can get a section 100, like a front, but only row F.
Ooh, row F.
Is what? Sixth row,
yeah,
for $27.
Hey,
which would be great.
It's better.
Next year, I'm going to look into it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you get out to Palm Springs every once in a while.
I do.
On this podcast, we talked about how I told you to go to an Agua Caliente Clippers game while you were out there, and you just let the opportunity pass you right by.
Next season, I will, and also we're going to look into going to some Sparks games.
Oh,
I want to get up, but I want to be up close for these games.
Okay,
I want to be sitting on the logo. They should have a seat that's on the logo.
Yes, and we were talking last night, and I was saying that if I was the owner in the stadium, I would not sit where Steve Ballmer sits.
Yes, both of us haven't, I don't think, really agree with his choice of seat.
He's sitting behind the basket on the, I don't know which part of it. I think it's the west side.
If you're looking at a TV screen, he's sitting on the left side.
Left side. Yes.
Far side of the rim.
Correct. And he sits like...
on the baseline.
Four seats left of center on the rim. Gives him a good view of one end of the court. A less good view of the other end of the court. I mean, a better view than anyone else in the stadium.
Yeah, I just don't get when I've sat down there from that perspective like last week, I don't like the feeling when the ball's at the other end of the court.
Yeah.
It just seems like very far away.
Yeah, it is far.
In fact, when the ball's at the end of the court... There's a whole bunch of people with a better view than you.
Yeah.
Everybody at that end of the court.
Yeah.
And I'm presuming that he could pick wherever he wants. I'm assuming there's no regulation about where he sits.
No. He could sit wherever he wants. But where would you sit? You'd sit center, right in the center, like behind...
I would either sit courtside in the center, like right behind the arena announcers.
Yes.
Or I would sit... behind my home team's bench.
Got it.
However, I could see maybe a coach or general manager not wanting the owner to sit there.
Yeah, that's a maybe no.
Maybe wanting them to... Then I would maybe sit dead center courtside on the other side.
Yeah. I want to sit suspended from the Jumbotron in the center of the court.
Yeah.
In my own seat that has like a rotating mechanism that lets me... rotate to see what's going on. I want a bird's eye view. I want to be the bird's eye camera.
Well, they, they put in those like cameras in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I want to be.
Because they normally put the cameras and the wires in a place that like the ball would never go through.
Correct.
That area.
Correct.
And I think that where you want to sit is a pretty safe area. Like,
100%.
Rarely would the ball ever be thrown there.
No, I mean, if you're hitting me with the ball, like that's just like hitting somebody in the crowd with the ball.
Yeah.
Right? That's
unless
out of bounds.
Unless it's a last-second lob
from
the end of the court.
If it's a last-second lob and it hits me in my owner's seat underneath the Jumbotron, I'm not worried about it.
No, I think what then you get a special exception where you get to catch the ball.
Oh, and I get to make it?
And dunk it.
Yes. Okay, you are correct on that. Yeah. I will make the mechanism. We're going to make that happen.
Oh, at one point in the game yesterday, you mentioned that a ball almost went in after bouncing on the ground.
Yes.
There has been a significant amount of debate about, which I think the NBA ended up clarifying, about if you threw the ball, at the last second of a game and it bounced and then went in. There was some debate for a while about whether or not that would count.
And what is the final verdict? My guess is that it does not count.
Does not count. Right. As soon as it hits the court after a shot attempt and time has run out, it would not count. However, if there was time left, it would.
Interesting.
I mean, basically any time the ball goes through the hoop,
yeah,
you know, that's when they, like, when the defense, two guys try to rebound it and it bounces in, they have to credit it to someone on the offensive side.
And it's just whoever touched it last.
Yeah.
What if the ball bounces, but it goes underneath the hoop and through? Does the count, do the points get taken away?
No, it's
out of bounds.
But that's also, if it goes the wrong way through the basket, it's out of bounds?
Yeah.
Also, it's funny how many times people have tried to, like, block a shot by sticking their hand through the rim.
Oh, yeah. That's very illegal. But also,
but it happens fairly.
I mean, you get your fingers caught up in the net, and you're jumping, you're moving, you don't know where you are in space. You know, it happens. All right? I'm not going to blame anybody for that.
I wonder how many people have broken their fingers on dunks.
It's happened. I'm sure it's super happened. For sure happened.
Because it seems so satisfying when you do it, but it is you slamming your hand on a metal rim. Like, and also I think for most of us who don't dunk regularly, it's like, I think our perception of what a dunk is like, it feels very satisfying in our minds because we've seen a lot of dunks.
Yeah.
But I think in reality, it's you throwing a ball through a hoop at the last second. It's not like you're, I don't know, like it's a combination of at the last minute, you're throwing the ball through the hoop and then basically catching yourself by grabbing the rim.
What if I were to tell you that there was someone who not only broke their finger, but lost their finger while dunking?
Who's this?
You know who it is.
Ooh.
He plays for the Houston Rockets.
I don't know.
His name is Gerald Green.
Ooh. Did they sew it back on?
No. He lost half of his right ring finger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he still today only has half of his right ring finger. He is a lefty.
Oh, good. So it's not a shooting hand.
Yes.
Similar to that, in fact, under where Casey's car is right now, this morning there was a 6-inch long, centimeter thick lizard's tail.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to say finger, and I was like, I need to move my car.
But also not one of the lizard tails that are like...
we'll regrow this?
Well, that's probably what the situation was, but not one of the, like, when you're growing up and you've just got like a little tiny, cute little lizard. This was a thick appendage.
A thick appendage.
I think most of them are not a centimeter wide.
No, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I do want to let the listeners know that when I searched dunk broken finger, I typed in dunk broken fingy, which is a better way to search it. Always search for a fingy.
I do want to talk about the, since, you know, we mentioned Duke winning the tournament.
We didn't mention it. But Duke did win the ACC tournament.
So I want to talk about... we did mention it. Because now a lot of Lakers fans are on the tank for Zion.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched Duke versus North Carolina.
And let me tell you this. Chris is not impressed.
I'm... This is all I will say is, like, I think he'll be fine, but don't get your huge hopes up for Zion.
Ooh.
That's all I'm going to say.
He's not the promised land.
I mean, I think he'll be... To me... I guess my views of college players are tempered in general because the vast majority of them do not live up to their hype.
Yeah.
And that includes people from pick one to pick 60.
Yeah.
There is a huge bust at every single pick in the draft historically.
Yes.
Now, do you tend to get your all-stars and your, like, rotation players from the first 20? Sure. But the hype behind Zion, and now Lakers fans are starting to tap into it because that's sort of all they see out of the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I think he plays a little bit like he's the senior who grew up faster than the sophomores. And so he's like the tall, strong guy where all the other kids haven't really grown up yet.
Yeah.
And I think that worries me, that kind of game, because the NBA, all the kids have grown up.
Yeah.
So I saw him doing things in the game against North Carolina, which is North Carolina's, as we said, a top four team in the league, in the whatever you call it, in the association,
in the corruption. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. We got the association and we got the corruption.
But like Zion's ability to take a 6'3" thin guard in the post, dominate him, and throw in a layup isn't that impressive to me.
Are you saying he won't be good against the Houston Rockets?
Yeah, I mean, no, I actually don't think he'll be good against PJ Tucker.
Like, he's not
going to be able to do that same thing to PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker's just going to throw all of his shoe collection at him, like, you know, and you know Zion's got a weakness for shoes.
Yeah, well, and his shoes have a weakness too.
That's true.
But I will also say that, like, he's shorter than I thought.
Yeah.
So, because I haven't seen him sort of in context. He's very athletic.
He's a brick.
He's got a great vertical leap, obviously. I'm just skeptical that those particular sets of gifts translate super well. He's shooting 31% from the three-point line,
yeah,
which isn't something that makes you go like, ooh. And also, I think his shot form is not super applicable to the league. It's very, very slow and kind of low release. So, I mean, I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's got a passion for the game, and that's super fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I just would not pin my hopes on him. Also, I guess the fact that he's listed at 6'6", it worries me a little bit because I'm like, how does he fit into the Lakers team when, like, being another small forward-ish, undersized power forward? I don't know. Maybe teams are moving to that. But the teams are moving to that sort of no positions thing with guys who can shoot.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced about that.
I mean, let's just say he's Draymond with out-of-this-world athleticism.
Yeah.
Right? Because Draymond's not tall.
Yeah.
Right? Draymond can't shoot.
No, the thing that Draymond has going for him is
basketball mind and his instincts and his quickness.
Right. Well, not his quickness, really.
I mean, he's quick on defense, too.
Yeah. But yeah, he's definitely getting by with his IQ.
Right. And so Draymond wasn't a hyped player. He was a 46th pick in the NBA draft.
Right.
Or 38th or whatever number pick he was.
Yeah.
So, you know, Zion's going to be the number one pick.
Yeah.
Just unless he dies. No, I don't
he's
know.
Gonna, he's going to be number one pick.
For sure. So, you know, you're getting somebody who, you know, like, let's say all of the negative things about him are true. Then he's still good?
Yeah, I would think he will be good. I think that a team taking him number one, if he turns into having Draymond's career, will be disappointed.
Yeah, that's fair.
If you picked him with the 10th pick, then you might be happy with a Draymond's career.
Yeah.
And also, I haven't done any research on picks 2 through 5, so it might just be that those picks are more problematic than picking Zion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there's another player you should take instead of Zion.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that for Lakers fans to be like, now Zion is going to save this franchise, I think is a little much. I don't see the same potential in him. Like, he's not the second coming of LeBron. And I'm questioning if he's even the second coming of Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons.
He's no Anakin Skywalker. He's more of a Darth Maul kind of guy.
He's maybe a Qui-Gon Jinn.
Ooh, okay, all right.
No, I don't know. What was Samuel Jackson's name? Mace Windu.
Mace Windu. That's, you know, problematic in that we're comparing. It's not.
No, it's fine. I mean, against the Star Wars, all of the comparisons will have to be.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the names of the alien Jedis.
Ooh, Yoda.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But the other ones that are like, wasn't there a guy like with a head turban?
Also, are the human-looking people human in Star Wars?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I was recently having this conversation with my husband because Star Wars Land is opening soon. In
Disney. Oh, yeah. Disney. Did you get your reservation yet?
I did not. It's opening on the, like, far side of Disneyland, on the opposite side of Tomorrowland, which is, there's many weird things about this.
Is it just the old Toontown?
I don't think so. I think it's new ground.
Oh.
But it might include Toontown, because I think that might be going away.
I feel like the Toontown's been closed for a while.
No, I went to Toontown last year.
I feel like Toontown has been open as recently as last year.
Toontown is a weird part of Disneyland to go to because it's one of the only parts that you go to and you there's no other way out of it. Like
you just there's one way in.
They're all the mostly other parts you can sort of go and loop around so you can have a nice kind of enjoyable. Yeah. Toontown, you have to go to the far end past Small World and then just turn right around and go back the other way. So anyway, Star Wars Land is going on the far side from Tomorrowland. However, in Tomorrowland, there's already Star Tours.
Yes.
And there's Star Wars related things in Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Then I thought, why is Star Wars even in Tomorrowland? Because technically, it's not happening tomorrow.
Yeah.
It happened a long time ago. A long
time ago. I mean, if you want to get technical about it. I
should go to Frontierland.
Yes. Star Wars, the frontier of yesterday.
The final frontier.
Yes. Star Wars should be in Toontown.
I would like to go to a Star Trek land.
Star Trek land, oh man, they used to have the Star Trek experience in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Where you could go on the next gen bridge. Ooh. And like all sorts of fun stuff. And I was like, I'm going to go when I go to Vegas. And then the first year I went out to Vegas as an adult, it was gone.
Oh.
And I was like, this is the saddest thing in the entire world.
Other news, did you keep up with the Giannis Ben Simmons
dunk? Ooh, dunk beef. We got dunk beef. Giannis visibly calling Ben Simmons a fucking baby.
Yeah.
Love it.
Which is always like, I don't know.
You know where the beef stems from? This is real, and I'm not just making it up for clicks. Who was the only person to have ever been traded in the history of the All-Star game?
Oh. Was it Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons.
Who did he get traded for?
Russell Westbrook.
Uh-huh.
From Team Giannis to Team LeBron.
Huh.
How can you not have beef with somebody who traded you from an All-Star team?
Yeah, but then it's weird that Giannis started the beef.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But they might have been yapping during the game. You never
know. Oh, there's so much yapping going on. Those two guys hate each other.
That's why I want those courtside seats.
Yes, so you can see what's really going on.
Well, I also think it's funny when they're not really playing the same position. Like I'm sure that wasn't intentional for Ben Simmons to be guarding Giannis in the low post.
They're playing exactly the same position, which is point tall guy who can't shoot threes.
Yeah. I mean, they are playing a similar position in the modern era.
Yeah.
But I would say that in the end,
it doesn't even matter.
I actually think that at some point in the future, the Bucks, if they can run the top of their offense through someone else.
I mean, they do run the top of their offense through somebody else. And you're right that Philly does not have like a one guard that they play alongside him for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like there's probably, you know, 60 minutes all season that he's played next to like TJ McConnell or somebody like that.
The Bucks do run a lot of stuff where Giannis is dribbling at the top of the three and then tries to create something.
Yes.
But I don't think, anyway, like I don't think generally you'd
want to. But they play Ben Bledsoe Simmons. And they play Brogdon, who are both like guards who can handle the ball.
Yeah. But anyway, my point is I don't think Simmons is who they want guarding Giannis to try to keep him from dunking.
No, I don't think so either.
So I always think it's funny to do trash talk when it's like you like mismatch somebody.
It's like Shaq trash talking Muggsy Bogues. It's like you can't guard me.
Well,
we know that.
Right.
Everybody
like
knows
if it's
that.
Embiid and who's his Hassan Whiteside. Then those guys are meant to battle.
There's some
Drummond,
beef.
Like
there's some beef.
If it's Chris Paul and Steph Curry, you know, there should be beef because they're going at each other all the time.
Time to unfreeze the beef.
So then it was fun because, like, the very next play.
Yeah, there was a tip dunk, and Simmons jumped all over Giannis's back and tipped that dunk in.
And screamed.
Got a good scream on.
Well, what's actually funny is both of these plays, I actually think, are not the best place to trash talk.
Yeah, no.
Because one is you're dunking on a mismatch.
Yeah.
Two is you're doing a temp duck over somebody who didn't even know you were there.
Yeah, and if he was to have boxed you out, you would have hurt yourself.
Yeah.
If you would have played any defense on that, you would have hurt yourself.
Yeah, which actually lets me pivot to a great other moment of confrontation, which is when Mario Hezonja dunked and Giannis tried to block it on a breakaway.
That's right.
And then Mario, walked over him.
See, yes.
That one I actually thought was justified because he didn't dunk over Giannis. He was on a Giannis was trying to do like a what do you call it from behind?
Yes, it was like a catch up
block or something.
That's it's definitely not called a catch up block.
I mean, catch up block's what I call when I buy 12 Heinzes at once,
and you keep them. You get the cartons of Heinz, yeah, and you keep them in a block. Chase down blocks. Chase down. That's block. What they're called.
And the reason
LeBron used to do those. Do you remember when LeBron used to do those?
Yeah. Now LeBron just gets face front blocked by the same Super Mario. But that one, I thought Mario was justified in having a little swag over because it was a foul. Like if you watch that play again, Giannis for sure fouls him on that and should have gotten an and one.
Yes.
And yes, then like a day or two ago, last night, I guess.
Yeah.
Hazonia, blocked LeBron to end the game and win the Lakers lost the Knicks.
And he was swagging out.
And
over
he certainly
it.
Deserved to because he,
oh my God,
he won on one. He won on one. One on one locked him down. Like, so, I mean, there's no, that is a moment where you should talk shit because
talk your
they
shit,
isolated
Hazonia.
You for the last shot of the game. You stayed in front of him and blocked his shot. Like,
ooh, sit down.
Yeah.
Do not stand back up.
I also think that is a not a great play by LeBron.
Okay.
Because.
Well, he should just pass to somebody on the team who's good at basketball.
Well, he did have an open pass to Kuzma in the corner that he could have made, which he would have made back in the days when he played the right way.
Yeah.
But also, it is weird to watch LeBron and wonder, why don't you just go to the rim? Like, in important moments like that, you still have the ability to create contact and go to the rim.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think this probably definitely comes from being a person who doesn't play and play, like, who has a 2K mentality, which is like, I have a player that's a 94 rating with a, you know, 89 dunk rating or drive or whatever. I'm going to hammer him at the rim over and over. And there's probably great reasons why LeBron doesn't want to do that.
Yes.
Either fatigue, doesn't care that much about the season.
Yes.
All this stuff. But there's a part of me that's like, if he were to go, he did get a step on Hazonia and then decided to fade away the last moment they got blocked. If in that moment you just like went to the basket and were like, fuck you, I'm going to dunk this.
Yeah.
I feel like you'd at least get free throws out of it.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have the ability to get past Mario Hazonia.
I think he did get a step on him and then kind of faded back.
Maybe it was
whoever was guarding Kuzma took like a half step as if he was going to double.
Okay.
But then clearly had been instructed to stay on Kuzma, which I actually think is not a great defensive.
Gotcha.
For a 3 second, for like a 3 point play, I would have definitely come off of Kuzma.
Yeah.
And guarded the penetration. But
yeah.
Anyway, the Lakers lost and they stink.
Oh boy.
I mean, speaking of A level teams, the Lakers and the Knicks.
Yes, that's the that was somebody I forget who it was on Twitter was talking about how the NBA scheduled Lakers, Knicks and Clippers, Nets on the same day in opposite cities.
Ah.
And
went to the better game by far.
We went to the better game. LA got the better game. The Clippers and the Nets are the better teams. Yeah,
the home teams won both games.
Yep.
Good for them.
Hey, wow. Wild.
I think we discussed previously, but like I think we're both ready for the regular season to be over.
Yes. It's just like 3 weeks left.
Yeah.
You know, basically as soon as the tournament is over, the playoffs begin. The NCAA tournament.
Right.
So
that's over like
in
first
like
week
3 weeks.
April.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Again, they call it March Madness and now it extends into April.
Ugh.
I don't like that. I also think that one thing I don't love about college basketball is that, you know, I've talked before about how having the Western and Eastern conferences in the pros make it very difficult because you don't have the same sample size to evaluate anything. Even things like LeBron's entire statistical career are skewed by the fact that he played an easier conference for every year except this year.
Yeah.
So a significant over the course of his career,
yeah,
a significant number of his games have been against lesser opponents.
And he's trying his best to even that out this year.
Yeah, with 1 year. he'll eventually have 4 years in the West.
Yes.
Before he goes back to Cleveland. So if you think that problem's bad in the NBA,
Wait, are you, you do not get to besmirch the Big Sky Conference, the Atlantic 10 Conference, the Atlantic Coast Conference, the Pac-12 Conference, the Big 12 Conference, the Big 10 Conference, the Mountain West Conference, the SEC, the...
I'm amazed that you can name this many.
What else have I, what else is there? There's the Conference USA. There's
I hate that name.
Shit. There's the Pioneer League. There's the
Did you mention the Atlantic Sun?
No, I did not mention the Atlantic Sun. The
Big South?
Did not mention the Big South.
Coastal College Sports Association.
What the fuck is that?
That's only men and women swimming.
Okay.
Horizon League.
Did not mention the Horizon. The Sun Belt Conference.
Sun Belt.
The
WAC.
I did not mention the WAC.
Ohio Valley.
Did not mention the Ohio Valley.
Mid-American.
No.
And is technically the Ivy League its own sports conference?
It is.
Jesus. Who is the Ivy League? Typically, they get one team in the...
Yeah, they get one. The team that wins the... Because they... Well, do they have a tournament now? They used to not have a tournament.
So it would just be whoever ended up in the standings?
Yes. I'd imagine that Yale is going.
Yale won the tournament.
Yeah.
But they were not the... What made you say Yale?
I feel like I remember reading about Yale getting in.
Yeah. Well, they were not the one seed. The one seed was Harvard.
Ooh.
So just another thing for those... Whiff and poofs to sing about?
Oh, boom. That's an a cappella reference.
But I can't remember. I don't remember which school the Whiff and Poofs are from.
Oh, the Whiff and Poofs, famed a cappella team of Princeton.
Really?
I don't know, dude.
They are Yale.
Okay, all right. Yale. Then they can sing about it in a good way.
Well, the other thing I didn't realize until recently was that the Big East is it all Catholic schools?
It's not.
A lot of Catholic schools.
It is not, because Connecticut's there.
Ah, all are Catholic except for one.
Which one?
UConn is not in the
East. They're not in the Big East
anymore. They're an associate member, according to this, whatever that means.
Interesting. So they're only in it for some sports.
Yes. In fact, UConn is only in the Big East for field hockey, according to Wikipedia.
Interesting, because they used to be in the Big East for...
very strange. Yeah, because when Ray Allen and...
Oh, Ray, when Kemba Walker had that 5 overtime game.
Well, and one of the hottest players of all time.
Oh, Big Country Reeves.
No. I mean, he is, but I don't think he went to UConn.
No.
Stocky point guard.
Ooh, from UConn. I don't know.
Khalid El Amin.
Ooh, yes, you have talked about Khalid El Amin.
Anyway, all the members of the Big East are Catholic, except for Butler.
Butler.
A team I didn't even know was in the Big East.
They are new to the Big East.
Well, the other thing is that if you grow up rooting for athletic conferences, by now they've all changed.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, it was the Southwestern Conference.
Yes.
Which was like University of Houston, UT, Texas A&M, Rice University.
Yeah.
That was a very fun conference. That's where Guy Lewis's Akeem and Clyde Drexler Houston Cougars came from.
Yeah.
But, you know, that conference is gone now.
Yeah. I grew up in a Pac-10 household.
Oh.
And now it's the Pac-12, and they have 14 teams.
Is Pepperdine in this?
No.
Pepperdine seems like a beach college.
The original Pac-10, UCLA, USC, Stanford, Cal, Oregon State, Arizona State. And then there were two more.
Wait, was Jason Kidd
Washington
at Cal?
And Washington State. Jason Kidd was at Cal. Yeah.
And Cal is one of the teams that's in that famous football play.
Yes, Cal and Stanford.
Ah, Cal was the one that won?
Cal was the one that won.
Because, with all the laterals and stuff like that.
Yes, because the Stanford band was the one that ran out onto the field.
Yeah. yeah. So, yeah, I'm ready for the regular season to be over. And we were talking last night, the seedings are not set, but like the teams that are going to be in the playoffs is looking a little clearer. Because right now the Clippers are 5 losses ahead of the Kings. So it's very unlikely that the Kings are going to catch.
Yeah, over 11 games, it would be a complete collapse and a complete relapse.
I mean, if any team can do it, it's the Clippers.
Not this year. They won their collapse game that I went to this year. They won it.
You know what's crazy? In the Pacific Division, the Clippers are 11-3.
And the Warriors are not 11-3.
They are 11-3.
The Warriors are exactly 11-3. Man, I there were so many other possibilities, and I got that one exactly wrong.
Yeah.
That's like on high-low having a king and going low and getting the ace.
The Lakers are 7-6. Okay. Not bad. The Sacramento Kings, who are in the ninth spot,
yeah,
are 3-11.
The Suns are better than that, right?
They're 3-12.
Damn it!
You got that? You pulled that ace again.
Damn it!
But just saying, like, that's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
And that's also, wild. Actually, you know what this is?
What?
This is the Sacramento Kings have done what most teams should do, which is they have locked down their Eastern Conference games. Okay, because let me read you the Western Conference records for the other teams in the Pacific.
Got it.
Golden State is 29-13.
Okay.
Clippers are 25-21.
Great.
The Lakers are 21-23. Phoenix is 10-35.
Boo!
The Kings in the Western Conference are 17-24.
Ooh, not good.
Which means that they have won their Eastern Conference games, you know, when they should have, but they have tanked it against things
just
on their side.
Just a hot bummer for the Kings this season.
Yeah, I do like to sometimes look, around this time of year, I look to look at who, like, are particularly good, like, road teams.
Yeah.
And who has, like, really feasted at home. This year, there's not a real...
There's no outstanding, like, I have a big difference between my home and my road.
There's no incredible home team this year. There have been years where, like, a team has only, like, dropped two games the whole year. But no, there's not been super dominant home teams. I'd say the most dominant home teams are Milwaukee and Denver.
Yeah.
Denver has the best home team record. And, you know, I wonder how real that altitude thing is. It seems to be real.
Yeah.
I did a play in Denver once, and or rather in Aspen, somewhere that was high, and they had oxygen tanks for us at intermission, which I used, and I was genuinely tired.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing anything athletic, certainly not anything at the highest level of athleticism against people that were actively trying to stop me.
Yeah.
Although probably you could argue people in the audience were trying to stop me from performing.
I would never be that guy.
But,
never.
But people definitely did. I don't know. Any other thoughts for this coming week?
No. I feel like I want to highlight a game to watch over this week.
Yes.
And so I think I want to check out what game that would be.
Here's a game tomorrow that at one point would have been exciting.
Okay.
Bucks-Lakers.
Ah, so sad.
Can't say that that's going to be a super exciting game now.
No. I think if I have to pick one, I'm going to pick that Pacers-Warriors game on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
As like a fun game to watch.
Tell us why while I look for mine.
The reason that I want to watch that game is I think that the Warriors are done with the season.
Yes.
With the regular season. And I think that the Pacers are going to try to show out on that game.
Yeah,
and win in Oracle to kind of show the rest of the league, like, hey, take us seriously. We're ready to go. So, I mean, they're not that far off in, like, record from each other.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors are only, you know, they're 4.5 games up on them. Or no, they're only 4 games up on the Pacers in the, like, record. So, that's, like, those are two good teams that are playing each other. And I think that the Warriors might be looking past them.
I got two good temperature-taking games for you.
All right.
In division, I would say. The first one is Wednesday, Boston versus Philadelphia.
Oh, that's going to be a good game to watch.
Because I think it's good. This is in the... What do you think the name of the Philadelphia Center is?
I think it's the Wells Fargo
Arena. It is the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, Center, damn it.
Because people are still kind of not sure what's going on with the Celtics.
Yeah.
And if any game is a good game for them to take it seriously as a playoff preview, it's that game.
Yeah.
Because that's a team they might face in the first, certainly the second round. And it's a team with a lot of swagger. And so it's not like people don't really like the 76ers. There's a lot of, I think that Ben Simmons does cause some kind of young buck issues. So like there should be a fair amount of good, fun hostility in that game.
I like that.
And then I would say on Friday, March 22nd, let's see where this game is. San Antonio Spurs at the Houston Rockets.
Ooh.
Because if the Spurs hold on to beat the Warriors tonight, I believe they will have won 10 in a row. They're up by 7 currently.
Yeah.
They could go into that game being the hottest team in the league, and there's a good chance in seeding that Spurs and Rockets are a first-round matchup.
Yeah.
So Rockets are pretty much all healthy now, right? To whatever,
yes.
However healthy you can be at this point in the season.
Yes.
So the... And they've, I mean, when you get Capella back and other people have been injured, you know, Chris Paul was injured for a while, you could say like it's taking some time to work back in together, but they also played together last year. Yeah. So I'd say by the time this game happens on Friday, the excuses of like we're injured and we're not in sync with each other should basically be over.
Yeah.
And the Spurs have had enough time with DeMar and LaMarcus to, or DeMarcus, as I like to call it.
Okay.
As I like to ship them. So I think that's a good thing to see, like, how good are these Spurs really and how good are these Rockets really?
Yeah.
I think that the Rockets would love to not play the Spurs in the first round.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I don't think any team would relish playing against Popovich. But if there's any coach who can, like, give him enough time to work up a game plan against you, I don't want to face Popovich.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I think Houston would win that series, but I think it would push them more than they want to be pushed.
Yeah, I think they would win it as well. But I think they would push them more than they want to be pushed, and you might not want Popovich game planning against you in a way that shows other teams how to game plan against you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's another thing. You might want to play against Doc Rivers, who probably doesn't even know how to game plan his own team.
Yeah, maybe. I mean...
Doc, give Danilo more time.
People are, you know, saying a little bit of Doc for Coach of the Year.
Yeah,
you know, you gotta watch out. Oh, got a little friend in the yeah. In the studio.
A little moth, this
little year. Mothy guy.
Look, I appreciate Doc's appreciation for Linux operating systems.
Okay, all right.
But other than that,
all right. Ubuntu out.
We'll see you next time.
Got any shows this week?
My family's in town.
Ooh.
So I think I'm doing Baby Wants Candy on Friday.
That's awesome.
At 7:30. Magic to do it Thursday is iffy. So sometimes I don't make it to those shows because I have other engagements.
Yeah.
So all of my shows are like, I'm planning to be there unless I'm in Santa Monica at 6:30.
Yes.
At an audition and can't make it.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's my main show for this week. My family's in town. My husband Eric returns on Friday.
Oh, yay!
And members of his family are here in town, too.
Oh, yay!
And two friends of ours from D.C. are here as well.
Wow.
Everybody has picked this week. Some of it is spring break related for a lot of these people.
Yeah, got it.
And college visits.
Yeah.
In fact, let me figure out the relationship here. Eric's cousin's daughter.
Okay.
It's either that or Eric's aunt's daughter.
Yeah.
Is looking at USC, UCLA. Is there a Cal Arts?
Yes, there is a Cal Arts. Yeah.
And Chapman?
Chapman, yeah.
Looking at those four schools.
Yeah. So many people that I know in LA went to Chapman.
Really?
For like media. They have a really good media.
I recently had to go to an Amazon store to drop off a package.
At UCLA.
At USC.
Oh, at USC.
And I was like, this is a nice campus.
Yes. You never been to USC's campus before?
Not really.
Oh, dude.
The only time I ever was exposed to USC's campus was when I used to watch Ryan Khalil videos.
Okay, that's fair. Chris is doing the eyebrows thing.
Yeah. Ryan Khalil, one of the hottest players of all time in the NFL.
I think he just got cut by the Panthers.
He got cut?
Yeah, he's been bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's been a bummer.
I'll send him a message.
I got a lot of shows this week.
Yeah, what do you got?
Tonight, for all the listeners of the podcast who can travel in time, Bitchcoin
is playing... I can get this out quick as possible.
Bitchcoin's playing the That's Shoebiz show tonight. Tomorrow night, Logan Everett. Tuesday at 9 p.m., Logan Everett is playing Rodrigo Casino's show called Roulette at the Moving Arts Theater. Thursday, Logan Everett is hosting a fundraiser at our show at the Moving Arts Theater for a diversity symposium hosted by Marina Mastros. Cool. So we are going to be playing with her and raising money for a diversity symposium that she's going to be hosting in the future. We're excited to partner with her for that.
Nice.
And then Friday, Bitchcoin is hosting Bitchfest 7. And it's chill festival summer vibes, baby. The weather's hot. The improv's gold. You know, that's all we got. And then I'm going to a concert on Saturday.
What are you seeing?
I'm seeing Balance and Composure. Shout outs to Balance and Composure, one of my favorite bands, getting together for one final tour before everybody heads their separate ways. And really, really excited to see them and wish them well in the future by shouting their lyrics at them as they're on stage.
Well, see you there. See you at one of these shows or at Balance and Composure. And also, we wish this to all the listeners of the podcast, yeah. Balance and Composure.
Yes.
We'll see you next time.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. With Chris and Casey.